We're going to read Ephesians this morning, chapter 5. Please open your Bibles. Let's read these next couple of verses in this chapter as we're working our way through it. Verse 3 and 4 today. Paul writes, "But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not even be named among you as is fitting for saints, neither filthiness nor foolish talking nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather the giving of thanks." Paul's been talking about our new life in Jesus Christ. And he says our new life is like a walk. Way back in chapter 4, verse 17, he says, "Don't walk as the other or as the rest of the Gentiles do." Who's Paul writing to? You know, Paul's writing to Gentiles. And he says, "You Gentiles have come to know Jesus, but now don't live, don't walk like the rest of the Gentiles." How did the other Gentiles live and how did they walk? Well, here are some of the key issues that faced the New Testament church in that day in these verses. We actually, in chapter 4, already encountered some of the ways in which Paul contrasts the life, the new life we have in Jesus Christ, and the old life we had. In verse 20, he says, "You have not so learned Jesus Christ." How have you been taught? Earlier in chapter 4, when Paul talks about spiritual gifts, he talks about the fact that you as a church have been given a gift from God in the form of your pastors and your teachers that teach you how the Christian life is to be lived. In verses 22 to 24, Paul encourages the Christians in this church to stop living the way you used to live and instead put on the new man. In Bible Hour in the last couple of weeks, we've been talking about the fact that when you are in Christ, you are a new creation and you should not have a pattern of continuous sin in your life. If there is sin, it should be an exception in your life. It should be something you hate. Finally, in verse 32 of chapter 4, in contrast to all the ways that the other Gentiles lived, he says, "Be kind to one another, be tenderhearted, and forgive one another as Jesus forgave you." Chapter 5, imitate God. How did God, and how are we supposed to imitate God? We are to imitate God with the love with which he loved us. How did he love us? He gave us his son. How did his son love us? His son gave his life for us. When we talk about everything that God does, you have to realize, and the Bible teaches us, that Satan offers us everything that God offers us, but in a counterfeit way. It's hard to tell a real money or real dollar bill or $20 bill from a counterfeit one. Sometimes Satan offers us something that God gives us, and he gives it to us in such a beautiful counterfeit way that we think it's the real thing. And Paul's been talking about the love with which God has loved us. He's talking about the love with which Jesus loves us. And Satan offers us a counterfeit love. And unfortunately, in the list that we read here, this is a counterfeit love that is usually involved with sexual sin. It involves our body and the things that God says should not even be mentioned among the Christians. These verses basically give us a listing of sexual sins that were prevalent and present in the New Testament church. And what's amazing is that the situation where Paul wrote, whether it's the Ephesians, whether it's the Corinthian church in Corinth, it's very similar to the culture that we live in today. Not just in America, but in Hollywood specifically. We have the news media and we have various groups of people that claim to speak the truth. They talk about monogamous, dedicated relationships between two men or two women. They try to redefine Scripture's definition of marriage as between one man and one woman from the moment of your marriage to the moment that one of you die. And they continually redefine this in beautiful words as a family and as loving and as look how they care for each other.
And this is all Satan's way of offering us a counterfeit relationship with God. Later on in chapter 5 and chapter 6, Paul will talk about a real marriage, a Christian marriage, a godly marriage. And he will contrast it with the church. Satan has his own church. He has his counterfeit church that's full of counterfeit Christians. And some of these things that were found in the New Testament church, Paul writes to teach this church because this was accepted in that culture. Homosexuality was an accepted form of lifestyle. Adultery and fornication was accepted as something that's very normal. And these people that came from this culture, most of them were not Jewish. Jewish people had the law, they had scripture that was given to them where they knew what God had commanded them way back in the Old Testament. But the Greek culture, they needed to be taught that this is not the Christian lifestyle. And so Paul writes to them. And he offers it to them and says, don't be deceived by Satan. Verse 6, see, let no one deceive you. Don't let Satan offer you a counterfeit. Very briefly, these words, fornication, that's a word that in the New Testament is often used together with the word adultery. And in those verses where we find these two words together, adultery refers to an immoral relationship between somebody that is married, or at least one partner is married. Fornication is when both parties are not married. But Paul says that this should not even exist in the church. He says you shouldn't even have to talk about it. It should not be a subject that needs to be taught to the church. But sadly, as in Paul's days and even in our days, we need to repeat these truths and establish God's standard of holiness to say that this is unacceptable and is not fitting, Paul says, for saints. Who is a saint? Paul begins Ephesians. He says, to the saints in Ephesus. Saints are people whose lifestyle is characterized by the lack of sin, not the presence of sin. By holiness, not sinfulness. By righteousness, by not uncleanliness. And look at this list of words that Paul gives us. He says fornication and uncleanness. What is uncleanness? It's all sorts of evil and immoral behavior. It's suggestive literature and books and pornography and things like that. And also conversation. These things, Paul says, should not exist in the church. Why? You know, if you're talking about it, it means you're thinking about them. And if you're thinking about them, Satan offers them to you as a counterfeit to God's agape love. They're not real. God's agape love is when God gave everything he had to us in the form of his Son. Jesus' agape love is when Jesus gave his whole self to us. As last time we said, a sacrifice that was acceptable to God. All of these sins that are mentioned here as relate to the body, immorality, who are they trying to please? They're trying to please themselves, not God. They're trying to take from the other person, not to give to the other person. The third word we find here, it says covetousness. You know, covetousness, and we mentioned this in Bible Hour, is the 10th commandment. You will not covet. You will not want. You will not desire what belongs to your neighbor. And usually we use this word and we think about this word about wanting the material things that belong to your neighbor. You want his car, you want his house, you want his clothes, you want his job. You want the things that he has. But when you go back and you read Exodus chapter 20, verse 17, it says, you will not want his servant, his male servant or his female servant, and you will not want your neighbor's wife. What's that talking about? That's talking about adultery. That's talking about immorality. It says these things, it's a desire. What does John write in the first epistle? He says, don't love the world. What is the world full of? It's full of lust. What is lust? Lust is this desire that is unholy. Worship. Worship is holy, holy and beautiful. to God. It's pleasing to God. Lust is an evil that just wants to corrupt for yourself. Paul says fornication, uncleanness, covetousness should not exist in the church, should not be mentioned in the church. Why? He says, because it does not fit. You ever try to put on a shoe or a shirt or a dress that does not fit? It just doesn't come together. These sins do not belong in a church. And Paul says, why? Because you are called to be holy. These are actions in our body. These are things we do. What does Paul go on to talk about in verse 4? He says, also filthiness. What is filthiness? Filthiness is unclean speech, dirty language, dirty jokes, things that make other people blush. Do your ears burn when you hear some people talk? That's unclean speech. And it does not belong in a church. Have you ever blushed in the church? That's an indication that what your ears are hearing is unclean speech that does not fit the church or Christians. Another word for fit is proper. What is right versus what is wrong. Secondly, Paul says, nor foolish talking. The word foolish is the word in English we get moron from, which means somebody that is intellectually deficient. He cannot speak intelligently. And specifically what Paul is saying here is this person that is foolish cannot speak intelligently about the things of God, but instead is speaking about fleshly things, about things that please your own mind and your own body. These things don't exist in the church. What are the things that we think about and speak about? Are they the things that Paul says, the things that are clean and pure and holy, the things from above? Think on these things. Certainly not filthiness, unclean speech, or foolish talking, nor coarse jesting. You know, jokes that are dirty and evil and have a immoral, impure sexual connotation. We say, well, he's just clowning around. He's being flippant. You know what the word flippant means? It means to be just cold-hearted, just I don't care. See, Paul says these things don't belong to the church. You say, well, we have to talk about something. What are we going to talk about? Well, when we begin to talk about the things of God, Paul says, we will have a heart that is full of thanksgiving. And our thanksgiving is a grateful thing that we give to God as a sacrifice. Immorality and all these other things are things that we take and we steal the glory of God. When we give God thanks, we are content with the things that we have. You know, if you are content, you will not violate the 10th commandment that wants to take away from your neighbor what belongs to your neighbor. You will be happy with the things that God gave you. You will be blessed, as we've been talking in Matthew chapter 5 with the youth, the blessedness that comes from spiritual contentment. And so, what is your heart and your mind and your life filled with? Is it filled with these things, or is it filled with gracious thanksgiving to God? My prayer is that it will be thankfulness. Amen.